Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 6, Episode 31 of this daily study podcast. I say daily, it has been a few weeks again. We had a very busy first week of these summer holidays. In the UK we have we've ended up having a 5-week summer holiday this time round. We have our holidays more spread out through the year because the weather in the UK in the summer is... I mean, it's slightly warmer, but it's still pretty wet at times. And so there's no point having a long summer holiday, as it were. The first week, my brother got married in the first week. So that's been a very busy week with helping with that. And then we were away the week after. And then last week, a couple of things. One, I was out of the habit of doing this and so didn't do it. But also a few other things kept us busy last week too. So back to the last couple of weeks before we go back into routine, and so hoping to get back into this routine before we get back into the school routine. Here we are. So yeah, we're going to look at this week's Come Follow Me materials, starting with Alma chapter 53 to 63 in the week of August the 19th to August the 25th. Starting in Alma 53. Now, at the start of Alma 53, I mean, the Come Follow Me materials focuses very much on the Helaman's stripling warriors. But before we dive into that, there's a few verses at the beginning which highlights a point that we looked at last week, which I wanted to cover. In verse 4, we read about a man called Teancum, who is one of the leaders of the Nephites. And by the orders of Moroni, they start to build some fortifications around Bountiful. In verse 4 it says, "And he caused that they should build a breastwork of timbers on the inner bank of the ditch, and they cast up dirt from the ditch against the breastwork of the timbers. And thus they did cause the Lamanites to labour until they had encircled the city of Bountiful, round about with a strong wall of timbers and earth to an exceeding height. And this city became an exceeding stronghold ever after." So again, this idea of building fortifications, which we learned about last week, but of course I didn't do the podcast last week, so there's an opportunity to learn about it in these verses here. President Henry B. Eyring said, quote, "As the forces around us increase in intensity, whatever spiritual strength was once sufficient will not be enough. And whatever growth in spiritual strength we once thought was possible, greater growth will be made available to us. Both the need for spiritual strength and the opportunity to acquire it will increase at rates which we underestimate at our peril." Close quote. Really like that quote by President Eyring. What's even more cool about this is that it was given in October 2015, which of course is almost, you know, in a year, will be 10 years ago. So ever more so, this is relevant and important for us to think about and consider. And the idea about building fortifications being a source of strength, Elder David E. Sorensen said, quote, "Remember, such fortifications are not a sign of weakness. On the contrary, they show strength. The scriptures tell us Captain Moroni was so strong that if all men would be like him, the very powers of hell would be shaken forever. Remember, Moroni's strongholds were the key to his success. Creating your own strongholds will be the key to yours. One key fortification you can build is to decide now where to draw the line. Our prophet teaches that if we decide not to watch inappropriate media, but instead to walk away, the challenge is behind us." Close quote. So, yeah, this idea that, you know, having boundaries, having principles that we live to, commandments that we follow, they're not a sign of weakness. Rather, they are a sign of strength. They help us to build these fortifications and protect us against times where we may be tempted to do what the Lord would not want us to do, or things which would bring us away from the Spirit, basically. The things that which the Lord doesn't want us to do are things which will help us and help us have the Spirit stronger in our lives and to help us to become more like our Saviour. So these are things we ought to follow. So then we get to the people of Ammon. And in verse 10, they're introduced by the narrator, by Mormon, who had in the beginning been Lamanites, but then were converted. And they had obviously taken up their oath to never lay down, to never pick up their arms. And at this time of great war, of course, they felt they weren't doing their part to support their people. But of course, they had made this oath, which they were not to break. What I love about verse 13 is it says, "But it came to pass that when they saw the danger and the many afflictions and tribulations which the Nephites bore for them, they were moved with compassion and were desirous to take up arms in defence of their country." It would have been so easy to rationalise the breaking of their covenant that they had made for this purpose. You know, this isn't a, oh, we are bloodthirsty, we want to take up our arms and fight again in this great war. No, they were desirous to take up their arms because they had compassion. They saw the lives that were being lost on the side of the Nephites, protecting them, and they wanted to help them and support them and protect, as Moroni said, Captain Moroni rallied his people to do, to protect their God, the freedom to worship their God, their religion, their families, their fellow Nephites, well, say fellow Nephites, the Nephites that were fighting to protect them as well. But Helaman, the prophet, and others persuaded them not to break the oath, because, of course, this is a promise that they've made, which, again, just highlights the importance of our covenants. I mean, if in a moment where it would be very understandable that they were to break that oath, because they wanted to protect others and to save their lives and were moved with compassion, then how much more do we need to take seriously our covenants, which sometimes we may be tempted to break, maybe for not such noble, maybe, or righteous, I would argue, reasons. But it's still a promise they'd made to God, and so they were persuaded not to. But of course, they then enter the sons of these people, who had not made this oath, and therefore, and they called themselves Nephites, it says in verse 16, and so they entered a covenant to protect the land unto the laying down of their lives. And I find it almost like poetry that they enter an oath or a covenant to pick up their weapons of war, but they do so to be able to protect and to safeguard their people. Now, wouldn't you love it if this was said about you in verse 20, and they were all young men? I mean, obviously, not if you're not a young man, but this bit here. "And they were exceedingly valiant for courage and also for strength and activity. But also, this was not all. They were men who were true at all times and in whatsoever thing they were entrusted. They were men of truth and soberness, for they had been taught to keep the commandments of God and to walk uprightly before him." And of course, they chose Helaman to be their leader, which again is an interesting decision, because Helaman was not a war individual. He was not a tactician of war, or we obviously don't know how strong or how skilled in battle he was. It doesn't mention, you know, his skills in that area, but he was a prophet, and so, you know, his natural skill set is more focused on is in the things of the Lord rather than in the things of vassal. And yet these young men chose him to be their leader, which again just shows you the focus that they had in this. Now, for the next two chapters, we have this exchange of words between Amaron and Moroni, negotiating to exchange prisoners. I'm not going to dwell too much on this because it's not covered in the Come Follow Me materials, and we obviously are limited on time. But I do want to mention something about this, and it is fascinating. Amaron replies back to Moroni, basically, and he gives his reasons for why he is fighting this war. He says in Alma 54, verse 17, "For behold, your fathers did wrong their brethren," speaking about the Lamanites, "insomuch they did rob them of their right to the government when it rightly belonged to them." And this is, you know, why he says he's fighting this fight on behalf of these Lamanites. Now, obviously, if he's anything like his brother Amalickiah, who was killed by Teancum, as was mentioned in a previous chapter, then he is not fighting this fight for his compassion for the Lamanites and their belief that they are have the right of the government. And also, what I find interesting is this idea here, where it says in verse 21, "And as concerning that God whom ye say we have rejected, behold, we know not such a being, neither do ye. But if it be so that there is such a being, we know not but that he hath made us as well as you. This idea that Amaron has completely, he used to be a Nephite, as his brother Amalickiah, presumably. And so they would have heard about the teachings of the gospel and the gospel which was being followed and lived by the Nephites, the band of Christians, I suppose, that was mentioned when we learned about Captain Moroni last week. And so they would be very aware of this God, but he has chosen to close his heart so much that he does not even recognize this as an individual or a being. I think that's an interesting way that people can go if they turn themselves away so much. Anyway, better end it there. But thank you so much for listening today, and join us again tomorrow, hopefully, and we'll continue this on a more consistent basis. Until we meet again.